That's the lovely Lady of Arcadia with Al Martino on KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock, CBS News time.
CBS News. A group of NATO defense ministers resumes meeting Tuesday in Monterey, California, to discuss NATO's nuclear capability and general policy. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. What went on at Monday's session of seven defense ministers, including Defense Secretary Schlesinger, was not made public, but Pentagon officials indicate there is growing concern over what they call a growing nuclear threat from the Warsaw Pact countries. An official communique is expected Tuesday at conclusion of the talks. The strain in American relations with Turkey, one of the countries attending the meeting, was pointed up Monday at a National Security Council meeting in Ankara. We have a report from Don Webster.
There is the definite prospect that several American military bases here in Turkey may be forced to close soon as retaliation against the cutting off of military assistance to Turkey. In a day-long session, Turkey's National Security Council discussed possible retaliatory measures and strongly condemned the U.S. for reneging unilaterally on its commitments. Turkey had been heavily reliant on U.S. military equipment until last February when Congress cut it off. The U.S. has 27 bases here, some of which are used for the monitoring of activities in the Soviet Union, others part of the overall NATO commitment here. Dr. Kissinger has on several occasions urged Congress to change its mind and resume military aid, so far to no avail. Don Webster, CBS News, Istanbul, Turkey.
More news coming up.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, world, Denny Bracken. I'd like to introduce the Vagabond King of the Kitchen, Mike Roy.
Soon there'll be no secret about what we're serving tomorrow on the cooking thing on the CBS Radio Network.
You mean beef au lait, don't you?
You said it, but not quite completely and correctly. Oh, yeah. It's beef au lait au brebonnaire.
Brebonnaire?
You freely translate that. It means a vagabond's idea about how to mix up a bunch of beef and beans and cheese and come out with a casserole.
Au lait in your ear tomorrow, friends, on Mike Roy's Cook Thing here on CBS.
President Ford has signed a bill providing summer jobs for about 850,000 young people from disadvantaged families. The jobs would be at state and local levels, would pay a minimum of $2.10 an hour, and would last from 9 to 12 weeks. The quality of some American food exports came in for criticism Monday at a hearing on Capitol Hill. Connie Chung was there.
Representatives of European grain companies today said the quality of U.S. corn and soybean meal is so inferior that they are looking to other countries for their sources of livestock feed. Kenneth Arnault of the United Kingdom told Iowa Senator Dick Clark of the Senate Agriculture Committee that European buyers put the U.S. number three when ranking their potential suppliers.
You've got to find a way of handling brittle corn. It's an old saying that you take 20 years to build up a reputation and you can lose it in 20 seconds.
That's exactly right.
And the fact that you only have this situation once in 5 or 6 years doesn't alter the fact that for the next 2 or 3 years, people are going to say, oh, to hell, let's try and buy it from some other place.
Bill Duncan, a feed manufacturer from Ireland, said U.S. corn arrives in Europe damaged, broken, and looking like it's been through a grinder. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
Gulf Oil and Rockwell International, a diversified manufacturing corporation, are discussing a merger. The two companies based in Pittsburgh say that talks are still in preliminary stages. In the event of such a merger, the new company would become the fifth largest in the country. Rockwell International makes automotive components, aircraft, textile machinery, and other products. Now this message.
In today's economy, when it's tough enough handling the bills you expect, what would you do if you got hit with an unexpected bill?
Oh, brother, I wouldn't know where to get the money.
Get another job?
I don't even want to think about it.
Well, something can help.
Quaker State, your car.
Quaker State Motor Oil.
to keep it running young.
You see, regular oil changes with Quaker State can help avoid unexpected expensive engine repair bills. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest, and refined an extra step, it's the number one selling motor oil. And now that you need Quaker State more than ever, you can find it in more places than ever. Quaker State can't stop the bills you expect, but it can help you avoid the unexpected.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young, to keep it running young, to keep it running young.
Results in Italy's two-day regional election show the Communist Party making big gains. With almost all the votes counted, the Communists polled more than 33% of the vote to the ruling Christian Democratic Party's 35%. Even though the results have no effect on makeup of the national government, they do strengthen Communist arguments that they be included in a coalition government. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Hospital attendants and Clackamas County deputies were held at knife point for about 2 hours tonight. Tana Lang reports.
A patient at the damaged state hospital in Wilsonville tonight held several hospital aides and Clackamas County Sheriff's officers at knife point for about 2 hours before surrendering. The 30-year-old patient reportedly first argued with a deputy outside the building. Hospital attendants then returned the patient to his ward, where he apparently had hidden the knife. Three other deputies were then called to the scene and finally convinced him to give up the knife. Hospital officials would not identify the patient. Clinical director Dr. George Succo said the incident was more of a suicide attempt by the patient. Succo also confirmed a similar incident which occurred about a week ago when a nurse at the hospital was held at knife point for a short time. Dr. Succo says security measures at the hospital will be examined as a result of the two incidents. For KOIN Radio, this is Tana Lang reporting.
Six graduate students at the University of Oregon, whose names are outside the state, have been awarded Fulbright scholarships for study abroad during the upcoming school year. They are William Sims of Georgia, Christopher Hoyle of California, Donald Wolf of California, Linda Hammer of Spanaway, Washington, Peter Rothschild of New York City, Kathleen Crank of Houston, Texas. A man who robbed two quick service stores in Portland and stole cash registers from both locations is being sought by police. Police have issued a public appeal for information on the suspect believed responsible for the death of 40-year-old clerk Charles Morris. Morris was struck on the head by a blunt instrument during the early morning holdup June 7th and died Saturday in a hospital. The suspect is described as 23 to 30 years of age, about 5 feet 2, 150 pounds, with dark curly hair and a jewel-trimmed mustache. Police say he may be wearing wire-rim glasses. Morris was working at the 7-Eleven store at 7330 North St. Louis Avenue when assaulted. The other holdup occurred at 2815 North Killingsworth Street, but no one was injured. Taking a look at some ball scores. In the National League, Chicago 9, Philadelphia 7, San Diego 7, San Francisco 1, Pittsburgh 10, St. Louis 4, Cincinnati 9, Atlanta 2. In the American League, California at Kansas City was postponed because of rain. Baltimore 8, Cleveland 3, New York 10, Milwaukee 7, Boston 6, Detroit 2, Minnesota 7, and Oakland 6. Taking a look at the weather forecast now for Portland, Vancouver. Mostly cloudy and cool through Tuesday and Wednesday. A little drizzle in the mornings, partial clearing in the afternoons. Lows near 50 degrees, the high both days 65 to 70. Chance of measurable rain near 20% tonight, Tuesday, and Tuesday night. The temperature right now in downtown Portland, 53 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1109. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, your chaperone at these arcane revels, which are celebrated here seven times each week. There's the smile of love, and the smile of deceit, and the smile of smiles, where both smiles meet.
Why are love and deceit so often found together? Must we deceive to love, or do we love to deceive? But where you find love and deceit together, they do not usually remain alone. Often, this duet becomes a trio, and the third member turns out to be death.
How do you render justice in your country?
We have courts.
Courts?
Halls, where people assemble, and we have judges, juries, lawyers.
Ah, yes. Is it wise to allow people to judge people?
It is the best way, the most democratic.
Only the immortal gods may decide.
But how do you know to get them to make a decision?
The gods have sent my people a spring of sparkling water. The accused must drink at the spring.
And what does that prove?
The innocent walk away vindicated.
And the guilty?
The guilty fall down dead.
Well, it is hardly the way.
You will see it with your own eyes. We shall have a trial tonight.
Oh? Who is the accused?
You are.
Our mystery drama, The Smile of Deceit, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say that, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beer.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
The poet tells us that nothing succeeds like success. The question, therefore, arises, what is success? That depends on whom you ask. Inquire of the philosophers, and you'll soon discover that, as a group, they tend to knock it. They say things like, success has always been a great liar, or the greatest success is an early death. That's all very well, but who among us would refuse to be successful? Who, if given free choice, would choose failure? Certainly not Miss Velma Strait. Women's lib to the contrary notwithstanding, success for many girls in our society still means the acquisition of a wealthy husband. And Velma, as we shall discover, has hit a rather respectable jackpot.
Just a minute, darling.
Oh, it's Aunt Rose.
Well, I see you were expecting darling.
I was.
Well, may I come in?
Of course. Come in, Aunt Rose. By all means, come in.
Well, aren't you glad to see me, Velma, dear?
Well, you know I am. I just... Well, you said you didn't think that you could get away.
Well, I really can't. But would it be right for you to graduate all alone, with no one to applaud? Besides, you said you're engaged, so I just had to.
Come down and see if you approve.
Oh, I shall approve. I know how I raise my little girl. I'm sure you chose a wonderful man.
Oh, he is, Aunt Rose. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, tell me all about him.
Well, his name is Robert Morris Hastings III.
Oh, that sounds impressive. Is he at school here?
Oh, yes.
And is he graduating too?
Oh, no. He's on the faculty.
An instructor?
A professor.
Oh, that's marvelous. Dear, I wouldn't dare to suggest this. It's so presumptuous to advise the young, but I'd hoped you'd choose a mature man.
And I did.
Oh, the young men today seem so unsettled, so uncertain. An older man is so much safer, so much more secure, and in many ways more romantic. Now tell me everything about Robert Morris Hastings III.
Well, you shall meet him in exactly 1 minute.
Oh, I will.
He promised to stop in and say hello on his way to the faculty assembly. He said he'd ring the bell at 11 o'clock, and he is the soul of promptness.
Well, that's an excellent quality and a sign of good character. What does he teach?
Anthropology.
Oh, dearest, I am so happy for you. To be the wife of a professor. To live in the intellectually stimulating atmosphere of a university.
Oh, well, we won't live here, Aunt Rose. Robert's resigning his post.
He is?
We're going out into the field. Robert's specialty is in psychic phenomena among primitive peoples. It's fascinating how the mind can be manipulated to produce, well, almost anything. Even death. Anyhow, starting next month, it'll be deserts and jungles.
Well, will you look at the clock?
11 exactly. Robert, darling, come in.
I can only pause for a moment, my dear.
Darling, the most wonderful human being in all the world is here to give us our blessing. Aunt Rose, this is Robert. Robert, Mrs. Maynard Gardner. But you'll have to call her Aunt Rose.
How do you do?
How I have looked forward to this occasion. Velma never stops talking about you. Aunt Rose?
Well, let's all have some coffee.
Oh, my dear, I don't have time.
Darling, it only needs a minute to boil the water.
Yes, but a cup of coffee right now would be too much. I already have had two at breakfast.
Now, Robert, you promised to watch that.
I know, my dear, and I do try.
Oh, he's just terrible, Aunt Rose.
I really should be going.
But you just got here.
I promised to pop in on my way to the assembly to say hello, and now I must pop out. I'll look for you both at the commencement exercises.
Well, if you must go.
And Aunt Rose, you will be our guest at luncheon.
I should be getting back to the city.
Nonsense. Of course you'll be our guest, Robert.
I'll make a reservation for three at the Hamilton Room. Goodbye, ladies.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Well?
Velma.
Isn't he marvelous?
Are you serious?
Are you saying you don't like Robert?
How could you consider marriage with...
I know. He's not as young as you might have expected. But didn't you say it was wisest to marry an older man?
Older, yes, but...
But what?
Well, let me put it this way. I happen to be more than twice your age, and he'd even be too old for me.
Age isn't everything, Aunt Rose. Robert is handsome, generous... Very intelligent, kind,
cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I know, a veritable Eagle Scout.
And most important, he's rich.
Oh, no. No, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Why not, darling?
You would marry for money?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, Velma, no. That's not how I raised you. If you can say that, then you learn nothing in my house.
But I learned everything in your house, Aunt Rose. I learned how important money can be because I saw what can happen to girls who marry for love and love alone, the way you did. I saw what happens when a cheerful spirit is hemmed in by too small a house and badgered by too small a budget.
Your uncle and I were deeply in love.
My uncle and you were deeply in debt.
Thelma, what happened to that idealistic young girl who went off to college 4 years ago?
I grew up. Giddy romantic love is a peculiarly American myth.
Oh, really?
It's because we're still a very young country. We have yet to get rid of our juvenile fantasies. Love is a fleeting, ethereal emotion. How can you base a marriage on it?
How?
Yes, dear, how? Marriage is a contract. And a contract should be guaranteed by some solid collateral.
Very well. Very well. If you must marry for money, is he the best you can do?
Oh, yes. I've explored all my options.
Thelma!
I discovered that Robert happens to be among the wealthiest men on campus, student or faculty. He's the sole surviving member of the Hastings family.
I never heard of them.
They were Detroit people. Robert's father was a pioneer maker of motor cars. He was bought out by one of the big corporations for a fabulous sum of money.
Oh, but there must be other wealthy men closer to your own age. Oh, Lord, listen to how I'm talking.
Yes, there are, but Robert's money is clean money.
Clean?
He's the only surviving member of his family. The money is all his, and when he dies, the money will be all mine. The others had brothers or sisters, all kinds of family complications.
But, Velma, do you realize in 10 years Robert will be a very, very old man? Why, you'll hardly be in your 30s.
I don't expect Robert to live another 10 years or even 5. He has a heart condition.
Velma!
And will be living a strenuous outdoor life in areas that aren't exactly healthy. I shall be a very young widow. And then I could afford to marry for love.
Oh, Velma. Something has taken possession of you. Suppose 5 or even 10 years go by and Robert is still alive. Suppose somehow he may live on to an incredibly old age.
Then I suppose I'll have to burn that bridge when I get to it.
There you are, Aunt Rose. Have you been waiting long?
No.
Were you able to see Velma at the commencement exercises?
Yes.
She looks stunning. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Why do you disapprove of me?
The fact that you would have to ask such a question would indicate that you couldn't possibly understand my answer.
Well, why not answer anyhow?
Well, first and foremost, this dramatic disparity in your ages.
Why should it bother you?
Because Velma is being cheated out of a young and vigorous husband.
Evidently, that doesn't bother Velma.
It will. Why do you suppose she wants to marry you?
For my money. You're shocked. Why?
I never heard of anything so cold-blooded, so practical.
If money is so important to her, why shouldn't she marry for it? She loves me. She loves me for the security I can give her.
Why do you want to marry Velma?
Well, because I love her. No. You must let me finish. I love her for the beauty and the freshness she brings into my life.
Oh, it goes against all logic, all reason. I don't know what you did. Perhaps centuries ago, it might have been called witchcraft.
Such a statement is beneath you, Aunt Rose.
But I cannot explain it any other way.
Only ignorant people explain away what they can't understand by witchcraft. Not everyone has your values, your attitudes, your perspective on life.
You're a clever man, a convincing man. But I can't be had. I insist. You must have cast a spell over Velma.
How can you be sure Velma hasn't cast a spell over me?
Well, I can't be sure of anything anymore.
Aunt Rose, Robert. Oh, there was such a crowd. Sorry I kept you waiting. No, I'm not. I wanted you to get to know each other. Aunt Rose, isn't he just marvelous? Tell me, Aunt Rose, what do you say now?
Bless you, my children.
There's a marriage for you. But maybe it's not so outrageous after all. At least the principals are being honest with each other. Or do they only think they're being honest? Let's review the bidding. He wants her to be fresh and bright and beautiful. She wants him to live no longer than, say, 5 more years. And I want you to wait just a few moments. And then I shall return with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C. What is the best basis for a marriage? The question has intrigued the sages since the original introduction of men and women. It would appear, however, that the best basis is the one that works best for the individuals concerned. You have already met Professor and Mrs. Hastings, Velma and Robert. May and December. Since each had what the other wanted, shouldn't they be able to look forward to a successful marriage? It all goes back to what I said at the very beginning. What do you mean by success? Well, here's Aunt Rose to bring us up to date.
And so they were married. And they left immediately on a combined honeymoon and field trip to study the customs of a remote tribe in the Amazon. At first, Velma wrote often. But a year went by, and two, three, four, even five. And her letters became more and more infrequent and less informative. And then, for a while, I didn't hear from her at all. And then one day, I received a strange, frightening letter from Brazil. Dearest Aunt Rose, save me. Please save me. You must save me. Perhaps it is my fault, but I don't want to die. No, I must be calm. I will tell you everything, even the part that makes me look bad. You're my only hope. You must save me. You were right. Oh, how right. It's 5 years. I've been married 5 years. I can't stand it any longer. I can't. What are they banging on those things for?
It's a very interesting ceremony, my dear.
I'm sure.
It's called the test of the bitter water.
Sounds fascinating.
I
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Damn it, I said I was all right. Do you want me to write it down and get it notarized?
Obviously, something is the matter.
Why can't we go home?
My work is here.
Why can't I go home?
Home is wherever our work takes us.
It's your work. Why do I have to be here?
Because a wife's place is with her husband's. Well, come on, we'll be late for the ceremony. Chief Arroyo will be insulted if we don't attend.
Please convey my regrets. I have a headache.
My dear, we are the honored guests. It would be an insult, and I need the chief's goodwill.
That's too bad.
I'm afraid it is. If I tell him you have a headache, he'll send his favorite medicine man to cure you. And that might be quite painful.
So I went with Robert. I had no desire to be sewn into a pigskin and smoked for hours to drive the evil spirits from my head. The entire tribe, hundreds of men and women, were gathered about a rock from which there flowed a spring of sparkling water. All eyes were on a woman who stood alone near the spring. A woman who seemed transfixed by terror. Finally, the drums increased in intensity. And Chief Arroyo himself, a tall, imposing man with steel blue eyes and stark white hair, stepped forward.
Let the drums be silent!
What is he going to do?
He's going to make her drink some spring water from that silver cup.
Why is she so frightened?
Well, she's afraid the water will kill her.
Is it poison?
No. No, I drank it myself.
Then why is she...
She's been accused of infidelity. To prove her innocence, she must drink from the spring. If she is guilty, the water will kill her.
But if it's not poison, how can it kill her?
Well, that's what these people have believed for hundreds of years. If she's guilty, she'll die. I've seen it happen.
But how can it happen?
That's what we're here to study.
Well, suppose she refuses to drink.
That's an admission of guilt. She'd be stoned to death.
Marva, daughter of Reina, wife of Corey, step forward. I accuse you of infidelity. I accuse you of disgracing your family, shaming your husband, and soiling the honor of this tribe. Do I speak truly?
No. No, I...
Shall you then submit to the test of the bitter water? Will you drink the bitter water?
Please believe me.
Why do you avoid the test? The water is pure. See, I drink. See, my wife drinks. See? Your own mother drinks. The water is pure, but only for the pure of heart. What have you to fear if you are a virtuous woman?
I'm innocent. Innocent. I swear to you, I am innocent.
Then drink. Take the cup. Take it in your own two hands. Raise it to your lips. Drink. And now the gods will judge you. Drain the cup. Now, throw the empty cup to the ground. Immortal gods, what is your judgment? The gods have spoken.
Is she dead?
There's no doubt about it. She's dead.
What do you mean I can't wear pants?
I didn't say you can't.
Well, what did you say?
I only said Chief Arroyo thinks they're... Well, that they're immodest.
Immodest? Why, the women in his tribe run around practically naked.
It's remarkable how modesty is culturally determined. In our civilization, a woman is immodest if she exposes her body. And here a woman is immodest if she conceals it.
This Chief Araya of yours is becoming a pet peeve of mine.
Well, he's a stern moralist, almost in the mold of an Old Testament prophet. Now, how would you like to drive the Jeep to Puerto São Diego?
What for?
The Institute is sending me an assistant.
Oh? Really?
A highly qualified scientist and an erudite scholar.
Well, that killed it.
Would you pick him up and bring him back here?
I don't know, Aunt Rose. Tell me, does life get its ideas from the movies? Because he's tall and he's good-looking. And he's not old. He's young. And he's everything I've been missing and longing for in a man. Everything I thought was unimportant. How can I describe it? We're tuned in. We like so many of the same things. We can talk so easily. We like to dance. You understand, don't you? And he was even honorable. Notice I said was. Oh, isn't it a glorious night?
Tell me, Dennis, have you read the Stevenson-Halley analysis of the South American Indian languages?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you agree?
Well, I think their premise is correct, but it sheds no new light.
If you boys are going to talk shop again, I think I'll turn in.
But, my dear, you haven't finished your dinner.
You can't go to bed yet, Velma. We have to have our dance. Professor, do you mind if I ask your wife to...
Dennis, Velma, I would rather you two didn't do any more dancing.
Now what's the matter?
Well, it seems that this kind of thing is shocking to the natives.
Can't be serious.
Chief Araya spoke to me about it. Dennis, you understand.
Yes, I think I do, sir. These natives are remarkably straight-laced people.
You know, it's odd. Our culture sees the savage as free and unfettered. Actually, they're the prisoners of so many taboos.
So am I. Everything. Everything wrong that happens from here on is my fault. All my fault. I admit it. We were walking in the forest and suddenly...
Don't move! It's all right now. Just a snake.
Just a snake?
No, he wasn't going to bother you, but you disturbed him. I'm sorry I had to shoot him.
Sorry? Why, the murderous thing.
We do enough to destroy the balance of nature as it is.
What did you say?
The balance of nature, it means...
I know what it means. In my own way, I've destroyed a certain balance of nature.
You have? How?
And in destroying it, I'm also being destroyed. Slowly.
Are you... something the matter?
Hold me. Please hold me.
Rebecca.
Closer. Closer.
Velma, we shouldn't.
We should. We should.
But this isn't right.
Don't you want to?
Yes. I want to. But I...
Then don't talk. Oh, Dennis, Dennis.
I love you, Velma.
Oh, how I love you, Dennis.
Well, then... Let's tell Robert.
Tell Robert? Are you mad?
It's the honest and honorable thing to do.
No.
Then you can get a divorce.
What are you saying?
You must divorce Robert.
Why?
Well, for 100 reasons. One, you don't love him. Two, you love me.
Let's wait.
For what?
For Robert to die.
Velma.
How much longer can he live?
Velma, I can't believe you're saying this.
Kiss me.
No. No, it's not right.
Don't you want to love me?
Yes. But as my wife, marry me.
How much money do you make?
What kind of question is that?
A very important question.
Well,
I have a research grant for the next 36 months.
How much does it pay?
$8,800 a year.
You can't be serious.
Well, why is money so important? We won't starve.
Robert has money. He has over $2 million. Think of it. $2 million.
Oh, well, who cares?
I care. It's all going to be mine when he dies. Do you want me to throw away $2 million?
What does it matter as long as you have love in the house?
It matters. It matters. He can't live forever. Oh, kiss me.
But we...
Don't talk. You talk too much. Darling, you're not eating.
I'm not hungry.
You want to go for a walk?
Well, we can't go for a walk now. The whole camp will know.
Oh, what's the difference? Robert's asleep. I think he's not well. Maybe we'll be free sooner than we think.
I can't believe we're having this conversation. Robert is the best friend I have in all the world. He taught me everything I know. And how do I thank him? I betray him.
That's an old-fashioned word, darling.
And its meaning never changes. Let's tell Robert, now.
I can't. I won't.
Then I will.
I'll swear to him it's a lie. I'll swear you wanted to seduce me, and because I refused, you're trying to...
Do you know I think you would? And for you, I betrayed my best friend. I even betrayed myself.
Dennis, don't look at me like that. No, Dennis. Please, no.
Why do young girls like Velma get themselves into these situations? An extensive literature on the subject of May and December marriages exists. Indeed, a great deal has even been said on the subject on many of our own little tales here. However, the most succinct statement was uttered by Mr. Benjamin Franklin, who observed that where you have marriage without love, you will soon have love without marriage. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ, and a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
Velma Strait, against the advice of her Aunt Rose, has married a man many years her senior. And way back in Act One, practically all of you were predicting what was bound to happen. Well, why shouldn't it have happened? It's what usually happens in life, isn't it? The ancient Greeks called this kind of thing fate. And it happens to more people than you would think.
Yes. I betrayed myself. Do you hear, Velma? I betrayed myself.
Dennis, Robert, he will hear you.
Oh, yes. Robert mustn't know. I don't feel well.
Yes, Dennis, you don't look well. Maybe you better go back to your tent.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Do you want me to walk with you?
No. There are things I have to think about.
Think, Dennis. Think about us.
Oh, yes. I am thinking about us.
Everything will be all right soon.
Yes. Soon. Everything will be just fine. Good night, Velma.
Velma?
Oh, did I wake you?
No. I've been lying here thinking. Did you and Dennis talk about anything interesting at dinner?
Oh, not particularly.
He's quite depressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a job to head a research foundation, very prestigious, well-paying, and he put in for it.
I didn't know that.
I was amazed. I didn't think money and prestige were that important to him. He was always happy just working in the field, or so I thought. But evidently it wasn't enough for him.
The job? What about the job?
He got a letter this morning. The job's been filled.
Oh.
That was a shot.
Yes, Aunt Rose, it was a shot. And it came from Dennis's tent. Something said to me, don't go in there. Don't go in there. But Robert went in, and after a while, he came out.
He's dead.
But
I suppose the rejection by the foundation was a little too much.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'll have to report this to the authorities. I'd hate to say it was a suicide, but
Maybe it wasn't.
My dear, I know you liked him as I did, and you want to protect his name, but well, it's obvious.
You must come down here, Aunt Rose. You must. I have no one else in the world. Only you can save my life. Help me now. I'm enclosing money for an airline ticket. You take the plane to the city of Brasilia, and then a bus to São Diego at the edge of the jungle, and I'll meet you there with the jeep. You must come before the 25th of the month. Please, before the 25th, because here's what's happened. The day after we buried poor Dennis, that horrible chief, Araya, walked into the camp.
Friend Robert.
Chief Araya, sit. Join us for some refreshment.
I am not permitted to eat and drink at your table.
Is there a spirit here?
An evil spirit.
Powerful?
A spirit of death.
In whose body?
Hers.
My wife?
I make the accusation.
Of what?
The most disgraceful of all crimes. Adultery.
How dare you?
Please, my dear.
Please, my dear. This filthy, disgusting, heathen savage dares to slander me, and you say, please, my dear.
Now, Chief, who makes this charge?
I, Araya. Chief of all the forest country, make the charge. It is my duty.
What right do you have?
It is my right. My duty. You live in my country. You live by my law. Friend Robert, I have come in peace.
Go in peace.
I live in peace.
What is this? What right does he have to accuse me?
Oh, my poor darling. The way you dressed to him it suggested a wanton woman.
But I...
And the fact that you danced with Dennis means to him that...
There was never anything. Anything between Dennis and me. It's untrue.
We're not talking about absolute truth. We're talking about the truth as he perceives it. And this means...
What?
It means you'll have to take the test of the bitter water.
And if I refuse, shall I be stoned to death?
Darling, if you refuse, I shall lose the friendship of the chief.
Isn't that too bad?
Drink the water, and once and for all, you'll prove to the chief that you are a virtuous woman.
I refuse.
Come on, darling, what could happen to you?
I won't, do you hear me?
But why? What could happen to you? What are you afraid of?
Well, what are you afraid of, my dear?
I don't know, Aunt Rose. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, it's such beautiful comfort.
It isn't. It's hot and humid, and there are flies and mosquitoes and bugs and snakes.
Oh, now, dear, pull yourself together.
I don't know what to do.
Well, if the water isn't poison, drink it. What can happen?
I'm just scared.
Well, then don't drink it.
Oh, then Robert loses all the years and effort he's invested in this tribe.
Velma, if you are terrified by the prospect of that test, then regardless of the cost, don't take it.
And if I don't, then Robert will surely divorce me.
Well, that might be best for you both.
Oh, no, not now. Not after these 5 wretched years. I never knew how miserable a woman could be.
I may have tried to tell you that a long time ago.
I know, you were right. You were always right. But that doesn't help me now. Robert's visibly fading. He can't live much longer. He has $2 million.
Velma, you must forget about the money.
How can I forget? That's all I've lived for. It's my money, and I won't give it up.
Well, darling, it seems your choices are obvious. Drink the water or lose the money.
There must be another way.
You did have an affair with Dennis?
Yes.
Well, turn the jeep around and come with me.
No. It's a crazy superstition of savages. I won't give up a fortune. I'll drink that water and spit in his eye.
All right, then. You've decided. Thank you for seeing me, Chief Oriah.
You come in peace?
Oh, yes, certainly.
How may I serve you? You are a fine woman. Fine-looking woman.
Thank you. My niece, Robert's wife, this test, it is to be tomorrow evening?
Yes.
Oh, it's very upsetting to her.
Why? What is there to fear? She is innocent.
Chief, she's not as strong as the women in your tribe. She comes from another world. You are a man of wisdom. You understand another world where customs are different.
A world where women may commit adultery? No. Even your world says no. Even missionaries from your world say your God says no.
But she is very upset.
Why? If she is innocent, what is there to fear? Let the drums be silent. Velma, wife of Robert, I accuse you of infidelity. Do I speak truly?
Answer him.
No.
Shall you then submit to the test of the bitter water?
Yes.
Here. I have filled the cup from the spring. Take it. Drink.
Aunt Rose.
One moment. Chief, may I drink from that cup first?
Anyone who chooses may drink from the cup.
All right. Well, nothing seems to have happened to me. Here, Velma, the water's okay. Aunt Rose, I don't know what to do. Velma, I have gone as far as I can. I've proved the water isn't poisoned. Now, dear, you must decide. What am I, some stupid native woman? Why am I afraid? Hand me that cup.
Take the cup in your two hands. Raise it to your lips. Drink. Now the immortal gods are judging you. Throw the empty cup to the ground.
Aunt Rosa. Velma, what? Child, you're all right.
You're all right.
Aunt Rosa.
I see Dennis. He's pointing that gun at me. He wants to kill me, too. He wants to take me with him. No. I don't want to die. Stop him. He wants to kill me.
No. No, she isn't.
She is dead.
Oh, she can't be.
She is dead. The immortal gods have spoken.
How do these things happen? We do know that people die of fright, of remorse, of all the unknown ways that silently attack the mind. Robert died a week later. The shock was obviously too great for him as well. Velma was wrong. Robert didn't have 2 million. He had 5. And all of it went to a research foundation, which is where all of it, except for a small bequest to her, would have gone anyhow. On the other hand, everything we have, we give to you, as I shall explain when I return in a few moments.
The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who serve their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The question that faced us in the beginning still confronts us here at the end. What is success? According to the poetic Mr. Thomas Gray, all that beauty and all that wealth ever gave awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. If this is true, then the only really successful creatures in this world are the worms. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
And beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6. CBS has world and national news on the hour. Alan Archer has local news from KOIN in Portland. My name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The future of the House Intelligence Committee investigating the CIA appears in doubt this morning. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Some members of the House are ready to push a resolution in the Rules Committee that would abolish the committee. The move follows a vote on the House floor yesterday rejecting the resignation of the committee's chairman, Lucien Nedzi. Nedzi had been stripped of much of his power by the House Democratic Caucus because he acknowledged he knew of supposed CIA involvement in assassination plots and did nothing about it. Nedzi said yesterday after the House vote that it's now a toss-up whether the committee will be restructured or simply abolished. As far as the Senate Select Committee investigating the CIA is concerned, it will have to delay its probe of the assassination issue until the White House sends its still-secret material gathered by the Rockefeller Commission. Secretary of State Kissinger gave his views on the commission report yesterday at a luncheon. Marvin Kalb reports.
Kissinger said there have been CIA abuses as reported by the Rockefeller Commission, and there may be more that will be revealed in the course of congressional investigations. But he said the CIA is essential to the conduct of American foreign policy, and he hopes it won't be damaged too much. The secretary admitted that the charges of CIA misconduct have been used as anti-American propaganda in some parts of the world, and in most parts, the charges have not been helpful to American policy, nor to the intelligence gathering operation. But the secretary concluded that so far anyway, it has not been, in his words, a major impediment. That's what Kissinger says on the record about these CIA investigations. His personal views are much more pessimistic. In a global context, he is known to feel that the only people who gain from these investigations are the Russians. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet Muhammad Ali.
We're going to bounce it and trounce it. It's a mean disease. We're going to chill it and kill it and knock us to his knees. We're going to ground it and pound it. And that's not talk, because the man on the job is Jonas Salk.
We are engaged in basic research aimed at piecing together the puzzle of multiple sclerosis. And I believe its time has come.
Going to whoop MS. Now, that's the latest. And I know you're going to help, because you're the greatest.
Police in Northern Ireland are conducting a massive search for a group of men who robbed a National Guard armory outside Belfast early today. A military inquiry has been scheduled. Peter Martin has more.
The robbery has revived suspicions in the Catholic community that there's collusion between Protestant paramilitary gangs and the Northern Ireland National Guard. No one knows who or what organization was responsible for the theft, but one Catholic politician claims the robbery could not have taken place unless the perpetrators got help from guardsmen on duty at the time. The haul was considerable. Over 100 military automatic rifles, 35 Sterling submachine guns, 35 pistols, and one larger machine gun which fires several hundred rounds a minute. It was the largest seizure of military weapons in the last 5 years of trouble in this country. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
Now this message.
This man is a doctor of laws, a former Fulbright scholar, and an award-winning author.
As a general matter, all courts make decisions by following the law laid down in past decisions.
He's CBS News law correspondent, Fred Graham. Fred is assigned to the Washington Bureau of CBS News. He's a Yale man with a B.A. in law, and while he was earning his doctorate at Vanderbilt University, he earned his tuition working for the Nashville Tennessean, his start in journalism. He finally hung out his shingle, and in 1963 served as chief counsel for a Senate subcommittee. Fred was a special assistant to Labor Secretary Wirtz in 64 and 5, and later became Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times, after which he joined CBS News in 1972. Oh, yes, he was a Fulbright scholar and earned a law degree from Oxford, too. Fred Graham reports regularly for CBS News and explains the legal process in your language on The Law and You, Saturdays, on many of these stations of the CBS radio network.
President and Mrs. Ford gave a dinner last night in honor of visiting West German President Scheel. Mr. Ford toasted the German leader, calling his country a model of the development of the modern industrial state, thriving in freedom and democracy. In his toast, Mr. Scheel praised American and German participation in the Atlantic Alliance and called on its members to help the developing Third World make economic progress. Mr. Scheel is scheduled to address a joint session of Congress this morning and then have lunch with Secretary of State Kissinger. The Secretary will also be meeting today with Greek Cypriot leader Glafklos Klarides to discuss the Cyprus problem. Klarides told the UN Security Council that there was no point in resuming negotiations if the Turks insist on keeping the status quo on Cyprus. They now occupy a separate state on the northern half of the island. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A patient at the damaged state hospital in Wilsonville Monday night held hospital aides and Clackamas County Sheriff's officers at knife point for about 2 hours before surrendering. KOIN's Tawna Lang reports.
The 30-year-old patient reportedly first argued with the deputy outside the building. Hospital attendants then returned the patient to his ward, where he apparently had hidden the knife. Three other deputies were then called to the scene and finally convinced him to give up the knife. Hospital officials would not identify the patient. Clinical director Dr. George Succo said the incident was more of a suicide attempt by the patient. Succo also confirmed a similar incident which occurred about a week ago when a nurse at the hospital was held at knife point for a short time. Dr. Succo says security measures at the hospital will be examined as a result of the two incidents. For KLIN Radio, this is Tawna Lang reporting.
Two Douglas County commissioners will be facing a recall election today. The Recall Election Committee seeks to remove from office Commissioners Ray Dorner and Larry Michaels. At issue, complaints about county operations. Money matters will be on the minds of many Oregonians today and balloting throughout most of the counties. It'll be the fourth time for the Lynn Benton Community College District to seek budget approval. Third-time hopefuls include the Philomath, Seaside, Bend, and Junction City school districts. State School Superintendent Vern Duncan says the 88 school districts are part of the 120 districts in the state which have not received voter approval for tax levies. The amounts involved total hundreds of millions of dollars. Besides Lynn Benton, three other community colleges also are seeking operating funds, including Clackamas, Blue Mountain, and Lane. A state medical examiner's office reports a man found to have died from a cane beating has been identified as 58-year-old Wilbur Jones of Portland. Jones was found dead Monday afternoon on a northeast Portland street near Union. He lived at southeast Isley Street. There are no suspects in custody in the case. The regional office of the Veterans Administration in Portland is planning a move starting this weekend. The agency will move its 200 employees and office equipment to the 12th and 14th floors of the new federal building in the downtown area. That move will be 42424 Southwest Stark Street, also in downtown Portland. The move will be completed, as it is expected, by June 23rd. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area, chance of a few showers today, tonight, and Wednesday. It'll be continued cool with highs in the mid-60s, lows near 50. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable showers 40% today and 40% again tonight. At the airport, it's cloudy. The temperature is 53 degrees. Wind is from the northwest at 7 miles per hour. The barometer reads 30.01 and falling, and the relative humidity between 68 and 70%. And that's KOIN News at 12:09. This is Alan Archer.